Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
And wise. How many know that God is wise? Because he gave me this idea literally at 6 in the morning. I thought, wow, this is crazy. Now I realize we all need a good laugh right now, right? And God's good. God's doing great things, amen. Take a second, just look to somebody that maybe you don't know. Say hello. You don't have to get up. Just if there's somebody around you don't know, say hello. Shake their hand if you can reach it. Just save time, because when you guys get up, I've taught you how to fellowship so well, you have a hard time getting back to your seat. So we used to have it where I couldn't get you out of your seat to say hello, and now I can't get you back into your seat. So it's my problem, my fault. All right, it's a good problem to have. Well, Lord, I ask that you would let not my words be mine, but they would be yours. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the house of faith. We thank you for a house of love. We thank you for a house of miracles. Lord, I pray as I share this message again that you would just let it go into our hearts, that you would open up the eyes of our understanding, you would open up the eyes of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I started this 2 weeks ago, and I felt like I just basically threw a whole bunch of stuff at you and then walked away, and I went, oh my gosh, I'm not sure if you could fully pick up what I was trying to give you. So I thought I would take another run at it today, but slow it down a little bit, because I feel like this is so important. If it can radically change my life, and I've been a minister now for many years, I don't even know how many years, if it can change my life and begin to reshape my life, I'm sure it can do the same for yours. Amen? Amen. So after I had this idea, and I thought, man, I have this imagery in my head, so I tried to get a hold of Steven Spielberg if he could produce it for me, and he was unavailable. So I went to the next best thing. I asked our children's pastor. I said, Rod, you're getting pretty good with those graphics. Can you produce something for me? And it's very rough, and it's just kind of put a smile on your face, if nothing else. But I do want to use it to try to unpack a very large topic that has been unfolding throughout history. A topic so big that we do it every day and don't even realize it. And we need to get back to some simple truth. And so, Rod, I was just sharing about how Steven Spielberg was unavailable. So I asked you. And second best, but still good. So so go ahead, play this video. It's really quick. And then, Josh, I'm going to put it up again later where we can pause it. Okay, so you can go ahead and play the video. There is music. Here we go. High quality. That's worthy of an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, I don't know, so. And then I saw Andrea last week, and I thought, man, that was so good with the board. I want to try that too. So, but I can't write backwards, so I'm just going to do this. So everybody say hello to Adam. Now, can you imagine if I would have shared about Zach and then tried to go into this? I thought, how would I have ever done that? But then when I shared about Zach, we've prayed, we feel victorious. Now we can laugh a little bit. So here's Adam. I want you to turn to your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, I don't want to rush through it. Claude was joking with me the other day, because when he got back from vacation, he watched my sermon last time, and I said, man, I got to take 45 minutes and squeeze it into 30, and then I preach for 49 minutes. That's good math. You know, I got to take 45, squeeze it into 30, so I made it 49. I went longer than I thought I was going to. You know, we have this story in Genesis that almost becomes like a fairy tale. You know, if this is back in the day, can you guys see over there too? Every once in a while, I'll have to maybe do this. Back in the day, you know, we used to use flannel boards, and I didn't have a time because this came at 6 o'clock in the morning. I thought I'd show you this. And how you feeling today, Abby? You feeling better? Do you print well? No, you don't. Okay, yeah, that's right. You're a dentist and doctors, and they never print well. You know, you guys print well. Maybe you can help me. You spell well. I think my girls will help me. They're looking at me like, no, no. Oh, I can have David Colucci. David, yes, you're a teacher and you spell well. You probably have good handwriting, good penmanship. All right, I'll tell you when you're going to come up. All right. So in Genesis, they love Rod now. My girls are like forever indebted to you. We have this story, and it's the history story of the creation. There's some very big things that happen that we read over because it's easy to take it as a story, and it's not just a story. It is truly what is happening in our minds and our hearts. And so I do want you to turn there and turn to Genesis. We'll not read the whole thing, but I feel like there are lines that we need to read. So turn to Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26, and it says, Then God said, let us make man, you could actually write mankind, in our image. Let us make man in our image. Whose image? God's image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Verse 27, so God created them in his own image. In the image of God, three times it's been said already, let us make man in our image. So God created him, man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Goes on, fill the earth. Now, jump to verse 7. This is the analogy I was using, chapter 2, verse 7. And we're using this analogy. That's why I thought, man, I'm throwing colors out at you and people and things. It's probably confusing. Verse 7 of chapter 2 says this. And then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. So let's just stop there. So this is Adam. He's yellow. This is the symbolism I was using last time. I was just speaking it. In that video, it was the same thing. God literally, out of love, a God of love, so excited to share his creation with people, he forms Adam out of the dust of the ground. That's the yellow I'm trying to symbolize. He literally picks dust up and forms Adam out of the ground. And yet Adam's not alive. Adam is just simply a being, but not full of life and certainly not full of the Spirit of God. And then we have this thing. It says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Maybe, Rod, you could just go around. We don't have to have the writing yet. You can get the blue guy for me. In that little Oscar-winning narrative, you'll see very quickly that God comes down, and he breathes the breath of life into man. Now, what we're trying to do for a second is we're trying to show you that literally that the heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the substance of heaven came and was imparted into man. We could read that and go, yeah, he came alive. It is so much more than just coming alive. Because we're going to see in a second that the same thing happened to the apostles. You know what? Let's just turn there. Do me a favor and turn to John. John 20, in your New Testament there, John 20. I don't want to give you scriptures without showing you. John 20. If this was not a big deal, then this would not need to happen again in the New Testament. But in John 20, this is after Jesus is resurrected. John 20, verse 21. These are the disciples meeting in the upper room. They are real people. They are alive. They are not dead. They are alive. Trying to help you understand that although Adam was technically coming alive, there was something that needed to happen into him to be in that garden, to be in that relationship with Jesus Christ. And John 20, verse 21 says, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So you have this beautiful moment in the garden and you have this beautiful moment with the disciples as the first fruits where he comes up to them and he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them and they literally begin to come alive again. So it's this radical moment that we're like, yeah, it's a figurative story or it's a fairy tale. No, it's the Holy Spirit being parted into man. And so what I'd like to do, so we have this idea that, okay, so whoa, that's okay. We're going to Maybe we'll put these side by side. David, come on up. You're needed. It's two man. We're going to do, let's go yellow, blue, and then our green folk. So what I'm trying to do is help you understand this whole thing of what happened. So we're going to go yellow first, blue second, green third. And then you're going to get your pen ready, David. And you guys are going to help me today. This is class 101, all right? This is Genesis theology, kingdom theology 101. So this is man, created out of dust. Blue comes next. Holy Spirit is breathed into him. Some of you are thinking right now, Jay has officially lost it. When I look at this, I think I have too. Okay, David. So what I'd like you to do, you guys know the story. A lot of you are churchgoers. You've been here for a long time. You know the story of Genesis. So what I'm trying to show you is dust to the ground. God breathed life into him. That was the kingdom, the life of the kingdom, the life of heaven, the Holy Spirit. And because blue and green make... Blue and yellow, sorry, make. I gave you the answer. So we have heaven with earth. Because listen, you are created out of the dust. You can't get away from that, right? Meaning that man and woman, okay. So, but we need the Holy Spirit to come in. We need this, and it makes this color. So what I'd like you to do is think about in the garden. I want you to give me adjectives and different things of what it must have been like as they walked around in the Spirit with the Father in heaven, emotions and things that they felt. Peace. Can you just write anywhere on his arm? Anywhere. You can write on the white. You can write on him. Peace. Give me another one. They felt peace. What's that? Joy. We got two joys. I hear two joys. Do I have three? Any three joys? Secure. Safe. Accepted. Free. Freedom. Well, they were naked and unashamed. That's freedom, right? Hope. Who said hope? I see that. Hope. I see that hand, sister. Somebody said love. Did somebody say love? Love. Love. Happy. If you're happy. Healthy. That's a great word. Healthy. Ooh, that's a good one. Creative. Adam, name all these animals. What else? Content.
Wise.
Wise, nice. Who said that? I want to see that hand. Mary, that's a good one. They're all good, but I just look, you know, certain ones trigger. Wise. What else?
Accepted.
We got accepted. Did we write accepted? Yep, accepted's here. Another one? A companion. So they felt friendship, companion friendship. They weren't alone. Connection, great word, connection.
Fearless.
Awesome, fearless.
Complete.
They were unafraid, right? Remember, it says they were naked and unafraid. Complete, another good word. This is why it's good to have you guys speaking. These are great words, complete. We covered all. I'm sure if you have another word, shout it out at any point. You're like, oh, this is another one. So let's think of the scripture. Let me read it for a second. We'll make sure we've covered. What's that?
Receptive.
Receptive. That's a good word. I like that. It said, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were unashamed. So what would be the opposite of unashamed? Confident. Do we have confident in there?
Nope.
Confident. Oneness with the Father and oneness with Adam and Eve. I want you to start thinking about this question. Jesus dies on the cross to set us free. Holy Spirit gets breathed into us. So, you know, when we're born, we have the sin nature of Adam. Holy Spirit, we receive Jesus and Holy Spirit breathes on us. I just want to say, shouldn't this be our portion? Just want to get you thinking about that. And yet for most Christians today, we deal with the same, if not sometimes more, of these things. How about condemnation? Is that in there? Condemnation. No, that's right. Well, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead in my brain. No condemnation. Thank you. Let's write no condemnation. Ooh, purposeful. That's a good word. Purposeful.
Fulfilled.
Lisa, was that you? Good word. I like it. Fulfilled. Yeah, do you think they were trying to figure out how to find more purpose in their life? When God said, hey, this is the garden. It's gorgeous. You get to be here. Protect it. Worship in it. Shamar it, right? We've talked about the word shamar. Guard it. So purpose. They had incredible purpose. Okay, so we've got a lot of words up here. This is the portion that they had once they were created from clay, breathed the Holy Spirit. This is what they had in Genesis. It says they could eat from all the trees. There's some interesting wording we won't get into, and it says God created and planted all the trees and the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the midst of them. God said basically one rule, you can eat of any tree, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want to show you something that unless you read the King James, maybe the Amplified, I can't remember, but turn to Genesis 3. We've got this beautiful thing happening. We know that they are created in the image of God. Over three times it said, created in the image, created in the image, created in the image. So there's wording here, if you read anything like the New King James, the NIV, that's actually a little misleading. I was surprised. In Genesis 3, we have the story of the serpent getting involved. And it's really the devil. He's deceiving. I even want to say the devil's theology begins to get in here. And it says, chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he's twisting words already. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So this is New King James. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I don't think they were trying to want to figure out how to be like God. I think they realized they were created in the image of God. New King James says you will be like God. It's interesting, the King James Version says you will be as gods. That's an interesting thing. Because they're in the garden and they have no worry. They have a sense of purpose. All these words, they just simply are being obedient every day to do what God's calling them to do. And then the devil begins to whisper, they have everything. And he says, listen, if you eat of it, you will be as gods. You're going to be able to begin to make decisions for yourself. You're going to eat of this tree of knowledge and you're going to have all this information of good and evil. You will be as God. And for some reason, and I'm sure we all want to fall prey because we all have fallen prey to it at some point, we begin to go, well, maybe what I have is not enough. Maybe there's more. Maybe I could have more. And so they do this foolish thing and they take the bite of the apple or the bite of the fruit and it gets inside of them. And I really want to concentrate on some of these words. Let's go to verse 6. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband and ate. So the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of the knowledge I commanded you, that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave it to me of the tree, and I ate. Okay, let's just stop and unpack this. What's really interesting is that their eyes are open in this story already. I want you to think about all these words for a minute. Because we're going to have this story, as you know, that a set of eyes open once they eat of the fruit, and a set of eyes close once they eat of a fruit. I want you to think to yourself for a second, are these words that have to do with your mind or with your heart? It's almost all, if not, I could argue, heart words. Some of you guys threw up words that I hadn't processed. But I had the ones that you threw up were a lot of the same ones I had. You guys had even better ones. These are heart words. They're running around the garden fully exposed with their hearts, and they're connected with their hearts. Connected with their hearts. They're not thinking with their brains. They're thinking with their hearts. Now, they were wise beyond belief because they could name all the animals and they had understanding. So I want you to know what I'm not saying in this message when I go to it is that knowledge is evil. Because we could quickly go, well, am I supposed to be stupid then? Am I not supposed to ever study? No. Thank goodness for some of the things that we have created. Like, seriously. Often, you know, inside bathrooms, just amen, right? Plumbing with heat. Have you ever had to take a cold shower and then you're like, I'm so glad that somebody created heaters. Okay, maybe it's just me. All right. No, you go to Ghana, you would have moments like that. These are all heart words. They're eyes of their heart. It's not talking about eyes here. It's talking about how they felt. Their eyes of their heart were fully open. Now, I'll tell you, if you lived in this, how many would agree that this would make a phenomenal marriage? Come on, look at the words. Love, content, joy, connection, peace, oneness, purposeful, hope, creativity, friendship. Like, this is marriage. This is friendship. This is how we connect with people. That's what it is. And the serpent comes in and gets him to think, how can I change this? I can't kick him out of the garden. I can't, you know, like I can't just come on there and kill them. So what do? I got to deceive them into thinking that they have lost and missed something. I go back to the question, why are we all running around when this is available, but we often are going to feel like we show next, all right? What I'd like to do, you need to understand when they did this, it says the eyes, it doesn't say their eyes were closed, but it says another set of the eyes were opening. God did say, if you eat of it, you will surely die. What's going to die? Their heart, the eyes of their heart and how they saw things. In that one instant, they're going to see things like they've never seen before. You know, it's super interesting. I'm only using this as an analogy. We have our cell phones, right? How many have an Apple? There's an Apple lover. Isn't it interesting that on the back of an Apple phone is an apple with a bite out of it? Now, don't please go, oh, we're going to throw away our Apple phones and go to Android. Supposedly, the true history of this is the original designer, when he made it, he wanted an apple, but he said it looked like too much like a cherry. So he took a bite out of it. That's actually supposed to be the truth behind it. But I want you to think for one second what computers and iPhones and Androids, you name it, have opened up. I was telling Krista, I think it's amazing that I could, listen, this is how crazy it is. We are the most connected, disconnected society in the world, or in the history of the world. I can find somebody across the earth that posts a lot of images and all that. And I could feel like I know them. Like I could tell you, you know, after following them for a couple of months, I could tell you the probably their favorite color, their favorite outfit, where they like to go and eat, where they like to go and visit, all these different things. And yet never have met the person in the real world. Never have ever had a conversation. Not only that, I can use this phone now to pick up any knowledge on that person I want. It's crazy what you can get on your phones. Instant information. We live in this. I'll come back to that. Okay, their eyes were opened. Here's what the unfortunate thing is. The Spirit of God began to fade from them. And because the Spirit of God began to fade, because they get disconnected from God, and God has to literally, they have to leave the garden because there's no relationship anymore that they can have like they had before. And so we literally begin to go back to our image that we were created in without the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we are not this color. We don't have this heart. It says their eyes were open, which is their eyes of understanding, the eyes that make you think all the time. And here's the incredible thing. I want you to look at the words, and you can write these down. It says the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and it says they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. The Lord called to Adam, and he said, "Where are you?" He said, "I hid myself. I was naked, and I was afraid." Do me a second. Do me a favor right now, not in a second. I want you, just even with what you just heard, yell names that we begin to feel now. Shame. Condemnation. Fear. Sorry, let's give David a chance. That's why I couldn't do it, because I can't spell very well, and he's quick. Fear, shame, condemnation. Regretful, great word.
Isolated.
Ooh, isolated. Yeah, isn't it quick to look at what we've lost? You're disconnected. Okay, let's go to that word naked. It's one we like to skip, but when you all of a sudden feel like you're completely naked, exposed, that's a great word.
Shame.
Insecure. There's so much insecurity, right? Insecure.
Humiliated.
Humiliated.
I am naked.
Vulnerable. Powerful word. Vulnerable.
Agitated.
Ooh. What's that?
Offense.
Trapped. For the first time in history, you know what happens? Who ate? What did you do? What does he do?
She.
Blame. Blame. What comes with blame? Do you think she was really happy to hear that?
Division.
You got one?
Shy.
Absolutely. You know why we get shy? Because we get insecure, because we think with our brains all the time, and yeah, we're going to go there. Guilt. I know this seems so simple, but when you begin to literally become aware of this, you realize that we walk around more often or all the time in this place, and yet God's called us to live in this place. Why is that? Well, first of all, I think it is because we took a story and we just thought it was a story and had no real information for us today. Any other words before we move on?
Unloved.
Unloved. Sure.
Sick.
Broken. Sick.
Rejected.
What's that? Used. We could keep writing for hours. Now, we're not going to have time for all this, but we'll just do a few of them. So it's interesting. We knew that color once. That's the color that we knew. That's the feeling that we knew. And it's interesting that the first thing that they did was they tried to get back the only way they wanted to get back to what they knew. So in this instance, we're going with colors to help our analogy, but they are trying to get back the feelings that they knew, and they're trying to get these fig leaves to color them. Now, they're not just fig leaves. I know that's the story, but what I'd like you to do, and David, I'll need your pen for a second, you can help me out. The first thing that happens in the history of the Bible when we get to Abraham and Isaac and Moses and all this, the first thing that we're going to do, and this is the beautiful thing when you begin to look at the New Testament, we can see it as so harsh, but what we need to understand is this is a progression of God trying to take us from where we were to get to where we are. And we could look at it from our eyes and go, man, that is so cruel. No, what was cruel is if he left him there. But for 6,000 years, he's like, we got to get you back to this place. My question is, why don't we live here? Why don't I live here? I'm just going to do it on me. Why do I not live? Why do I live more of my thoughts here and not here? So if you could write, the first thing he does, he presents the law. And so if you could write law on that fig leaf, you could throw another one up there. Law and religion to try to give us some resemblance of being in the presence of God, although we couldn't be in the presence of God anymore, but we're going to get as close as we can so we get a religion in there. What are some other things that we use to hide, to cover, to present a good package?
Materialism.
That's good. Materialism. What's that?
Arrogance.
Yeah, usually the one that's the most arrogant is often the most insecure. That's just the way it comes out, right? I got to cover this up. I don't want anybody to know how broken I am inside, so I'm going to cover myself with arrogance. Now, of course, that's just repeating the cycle and gets us no closer to here. Religion, they thought, would hopefully get us closer. You know, they had a sacrifice every year, and they were able to make that sacrifice, and it took away. It covered their sins, but it didn't take away. Can we, a couple more? This is great. I love this. What else?
Performance.
Ooh, performance. That's good. So now we perform to try to show ourselves important. You know, I think of that word purposeful. They had purpose. But often, don't we find that we're always trying to have more? I don't know what we call that, but people are always like never satisfied. Did you know that the more money you make, the less satisfied you become with how much you have? It's been proven statistically as they've done research. Often, this is crazy, often the people that have the lowest income give the most. Because you get more money, you think, I got to keep more money and I'm not satisfied. I need more money. Like, how much do you really need? Elon Musk. What is he up to now? Isn't he like $100 billion or $200 billion? He buys companies like I buy Mars bars. Never enough. What else? A few more words, then I got to close up. What's that? Oh, that's good. Competitive. And the crazy thing is that we could do this in church and not even realize it's wrong and be super competitive. Be like, that's just my nature. Now, it's okay to have like, to do sports and all that. But when you look at the state of the church over the last 3 years, dear Lord, I guarantee you we were not eating out of the tree of life, all right? Because we had division. We had so many things separating us from the love of each other, but we're supposed to have the love of God. I think it was Gandhi that said, I love your Jesus, but I don't understand your people. Yikes. Anything else? Fame. What's that? Comparison. Image. Image. So trying to create a good image. Yeah, trying to create a good image. We have any more fig leaves? Oh, we got a few more fig leaves here. I'm going to put them on for you. Let's just keep, you know. So we had image. We had. Well, often we create a false image. So I'm going to run through a few things, and then I'm going to pick this up another day because there is a solution. Anything else you want to throw in here?
It said religion.
Oh, that's a good one. Rules. All right. I want you to imagine for a minute that the garden, I want to take this into a now imagery. You can go to John with me. Turn to John or click John 1. That's great, David. Thank you. So am I telling you a fairy tale that we can live differently? Is that, so Jay, you're just taking one fairy tale and putting it into another? You're just taking the book and saying that we could actually live like this? So I want you to think for a second. Let's take the imagery of a garden and remove it for a minute. Let's look at John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that the Word is, it's the best Sunday school answer ever. If you use that, you're usually right. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. In him was, come on, in him was life. I could take you to a scripture that talks very clearly about how the devil was in the garden and he was full of, tried to be wise and he took over, you know, he was deceptive. So I want you to think for a minute, every day, it's not a tree that we eat from, that we have two sources to eat from every day. Every day you are alive. Every day, Zach, you're going through what you're going through, you're gonna have a choice of what you're gonna eat. You know, I don't know if you did it, but I hope, brother, you know, the last thing you wanna do is jump on and Google. No. You could have a toe ache and jump on it and it's gonna tell you horrible things. Every day when you wake up, and I'm trying to learn to do this because we already know that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. We already looked that Jesus can breathe on us. But how is it possible that you could live as a Christian, saved and going to heaven, and literally every day eat out of the wrong tree? Did you realize that's possible? If you don't think it's true, look at your life and look at mine. Because this is not, Romans clearly says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And yet most Christians deal with condemnation every day. Well, how can that be? What I want to do over the next few weeks, there's no way I can even jump into it right now fully. I want to tell you that there is a way to move from living here, because this is the old, and living here on an everyday basis. But yet most of the time, honestly, I will look back as the pandemic as something that opened my eyes to see where I was in my thoughts. I can honestly tell you that before the pandemic, so many of these things were important to me. Like, it's so easy to fall into the trap of bigger and better, isn't it? You get a house that you love your house, and somehow 5 years later, it's not enough. 10 years later, right? You love your car. Until you see a better car. Now, I hope a lot of you are not like that. I'll never forget the guy, it was a commercial, and this is so true. He's driving down a convertible. He's got his hand around the box that he just bought, his new computer, right? And it's like, whatever. I'm drawing a blank. Well, give me an older computer. Hewlett-Packard or something like that, and whatever the model was, and as he's at the light, he looks up and there's a billboard, and they're literally rolling out the next model of what he just bought. And he looks like he was so happy with the model that he had until he found out there was another model. And we could live like that. And much of the church, we've read out of James many times where it says there is either demonic sensual wisdom or wisdom from above. And it clearly shows that there are two things that we can eat from on a regular basis. And most of the time we sit around and we are chewing on the knowledge of good and evil. And what does that look like? See, you're going to think, well, does it mean that there's no right and wrong? Of course there's right and wrong. But what most of the time we're doing is we're looking through, and judgment has become the normal thing for most people to think. And then you look through, and the thing that almost completely gotten off all social media. For me, right now in my life, that's what I have to do. Because every day I wake up and that little deceptive serpent would get into my ear every once in a while, and I'm trying to look just to connect, and I'm looking at what I don't have. I'm looking at what that family did for vacation that I didn't get to do. And man, it is so subtle. I could be looking at the church that what am I doing wrong? I got to get some better theory to get our church to grow. Like, look, there's empty seats here. Man, that has been eating at me, and like, what did we do wrong? And so you begin to get into your head of the knowledge of good and evil, and you can ruminate, right? You guys know what that word is, ruminate, right? You think over and over, what could I have done different? What could I have, what would be different? And yet, that is nowhere in the garden. So I'll finish with this for you guys to think about. John clearly says that Jesus is life. So I want you to, for a little while, when you go home over the next few days and think, so if the tree is Jesus, and the tree of the knowledge and good and evil is not just the knowledge of good and evil, but is also the way that the devil would love for us to think, would love for us to devour more information. Like, again, the pandemic, how many people went on to try to find the answer? Right? The best doctors in the world were trying to figure it out, but every one of us, we're losing control, and we wanted to figure out how to get control back. So we wanted knowledge to make ourselves feel better. Right? Come on, anybody, you guys awake, you fall asleep. So what would it look like every day, and this is where I want to take us, what would it look like every day if we chose to eat from the tree of Jesus and life, and what does that look like instead of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil? Well, I am finding that I have to do things very differently. I have to every day, and I'll tell you, there's moments when I'm getting a thought and I have to say, Jesus, I don't get it. So Lord, I just look to you. You know, we are not going to try to focus, but the reality is we'll be praying a lot for Zach. I hope we have a board going around, right? Is that going around? Oh, we need to get it around real quick. So when I say real quick, I actually mean it this time. So if you guys, we forgot to get this. We have a prayer clock. We want to get you guys praying for Zach on a regular basis. And we'll put things up. Zach's heard a lot of things, but the last thing that Zach needs is a more knowledge right now. What does Zach need? Zach needs prayer. Zach needs Jesus every day. It will do Zach no good to get every board of information, everything that the doctors are trying to do. Zach, for you, that's why I wanted you to have communion and Mire. Because when you're taking communion, you're going, you know what? I'm shutting off that tree. I'm not covering up where I am. This is where I am. And you've been so awesome to be vulnerable with that, you know, right away calling and letting us know. And you're like, hey, this is where I'm at, but I'm going to reach into that tree. And when fear comes, I'm reaching in. Jesus, I have no control right now over what's going on, but you do. You have control. You have life, Jesus. I don't. I'm going to do what the doctors say, but you are the giver of life. So I reach in right now. And literally it means that we have to learn to stop and go, Lord, right now, I just reach in for your life. And I'm going to take us down the path of love, because you know what? So often we're trying to figure things out with our brains, and we would have done so much better if we just in the pandemic went, Lord, I stop right now and I just ask for your love, because there's a world full of fear. And I know a lot of us did that. But I just can look back and go, a lot of what we did didn't really actually help anything. But the one or two times when I walked into places where I was conscious and aware of love, it changed entire atmospheres. Man, I'm like, why didn't I live in that more often? I told you the story. I'll close with this. Going to that first day when we all ran out and buying supplies. Well, I was just going to get groceries. I kind of was oblivious to what was going on. Krista said, you got to go get some groceries. So I'm shopping. I'm like, what is going on? Like, people everywhere. Panic, right? So I'm calling Krista, and I'm in line. I know you've heard the story. I wish I could remember these things all the time, but I'm in line. I thought, this, like, fear could grip you in a second. Remember, in your hospital room, fear could grip you. And so I start making jokes. And I'm just calling Krista. I can't even remember what I'm like. Should I get 14 things of? I'm trying to say it loud enough, and people are laughing. Before you know it, conversations are happening. We're kind of not mocking it, but we're just trying to make light of it because of the fear. But I'll never forget when I went to leave, the girl behind me, she said, I'm so thankful I got in line with you, because I was scared of my mind and you put me at ease. I'm like, oh, Lord, I need to do that every day. Why don't I do that every day? She didn't need more information. She didn't need, and she just needed, actually in that moment, she needed a laugh. That's why I keep telling Zach, you need a laugh. I told you to go play in the leaves yesterday. I don't know if you did. He was trying to find something to do. I'm like, go play in the leaves. That'll teach you to call your pastor for advice. I didn't want to eat of the knowledge of good and evil. So for today, as I leave you, I can't unpack the whole thing, but I want you to understand two things. The eyes of their heart closed. This is the result of the knowledge of good and evil that opened. So when we are partaking of these things, you need to be triggered to go, wait a minute, I am not functioning out of my heart. I'm functioning out of my head, out of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to be as God, and this was the result. So I will thankfully go, Holy Spirit, you lead me. You lead me. Because if this is the result of me leading me as trying to be God, I will gladly take this any day. Come on, anybody else? And it is a matter of going, I shut that down. But can't you see what that person's doing? I can see, but I shut that down. What do they need? What is the love I could give them right now? What is the prayer I can give them? So often, I'm not trying to make you the center of attention, Zach, but I'm sure you went there. Isn't it so easy to start going, what did I do to cause this? See, that's where our minds want to go. They did the same thing in the Bible with the man that was blind, right? What sins did the father do to cause the son to be blind? We're trying to figure things out instead of going, Lord, here I am. I don't know how I got here, but Jesus, I climb onto your lap. The tree of life, I climb onto your lap. Jesus, I need you. I need you. And when I think one of these thoughts, nope, Jesus, I need you. Amen. Why don't you stand? So we pray a crazy prayer for Zach. First of all, we want a Zach healed. Lord, we just thank you that you are healer and we are reaching in for his healing. But Lord, Zach has been climbing up on your lap. And I pray tomorrow when he goes in, he's not even gonna try to do anything. I pray that life, Zach, what have you been feeling the last couple days? What words have been coming back to you right here, right? Peace, acceptance, all that. So Lord, I pray that when Zach goes there tomorrow, that it would flow out of him. Amen. That Lord, he would just be life to the people around him. Even in the midst of his chaos, that his chaos would be full of peace. Amen. And he would exude love. He would exude life. Amen. And what people would begin to do is get closer, eat some of the fruit that Zach carries, because he's life, life. Lord, I pray for all of us, Father God, that, Lord, over the coming weeks that we would begin to learn to shut off seeing with the wrong eyes and opening up our hearts again. Father God, that we begin to see the way you created us, that we begin to stop thinking with the way the world thinks, the materialism and all that. We begin to say, Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds to the true way of thinking. Lord, I pray you'd fill us with life, that people truly could come along and take fruit from us and find peace, find love, find acceptance. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.